And as Buck was mentioning just a few minutes ago, joining us in studio is Frank Moe. Frank lives here in Cook County. He's a former state legislator from the Bemidji area and is on the board of Conservation Minnesota. Frank, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me in.
Nice to have you here. The first question I've got before we talk about the legacy destination weekends is, what is Conservation Minnesota?
Well, Conservation Minnesota actually has two entities. One is the educational branch. It's a 501c3 public education, which is what is putting on or supporting the destination weekends. And you know, if you go online and you want to look at if your lake has a fish advisory or something like that as a lake finder, it also does other education things around the state of Minnesota, primarily now working a lot on promoting these legacy destinations weekends and reminding the voters and citizens of the state of Minnesota what their money is going for. So
okay, the legacy funds.
Funds, right.
Got it.
Right.
And you were in the state legislature. You actually served for 4 years, two terms,
correct,
if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
But you were in there and actually worked on the creation of that legacy fund, which, if I'm not mistaken, started out for, didn't it start off for habitat?
Yeah, originally it was the brainchild of sportsmen and women organizations who looked at the sales tax collections in the state of Minnesota and thought, you know, we're spending all this money on hunting and fishing tackle and only very little of that sales tax is going back to habitat and the things that support sportsmen and women interest in the state of Minnesota. So many of us had different versions of the bill, but primarily it was a quarter or an eighth of percent of the existing sales tax that we wanted to direct it towards habitat protection.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there was a fight over that for a few years. You know, I was in the House. I was a Democrat, but in a Republican controlled House, and they didn't want to raise taxes, and the Senate was controlled by the Democrats, and they didn't want to take money away from the general fund, which that would do,
mm-hmm,
which would then take money away from education, healthcare. So that was stalemated for a few years until in 2007, that session, Democrats controlled the House and Senate, and so we just decided to raise taxes.
Do whatever you want.
Right.
And after that, you quit.
Exactly right. I didn't want to see the voters after that. No, but we passed, and it's just started off as a sportsman and women issue, and then, you know, many of the environmental groups realized how important protecting the habitat would be for their agenda as well. But in order to get things passed through the legislature, you have to have majority support. And in the Senate was controlled by metropolitan legislators, primarily Larry Pogomiller was the mm-hmm, was in control, and Dick Cohn was the finance committee chair from St. Paul. And they realized that most of that money wasn't going to be spent in Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Sure.
If it was just for habitat, it was going to be spent in northern Minnesota and western Minnesota. So they said, well, we'll support this, but we want to tack on the arts and cultural heritage. Many of the sportsmen groups said, we're not going to, if anybody reads Outdoor News, there, you know, a lot of people were upset about that. We're not going to vote for the arts, blah, 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 you know? And so that there was a fight back and forth for a while, but ultimately, we realized that we were stronger together. This broad umbrella of cultural arts, habitat, environmental protection. And so that became the legislation, 3/8% increase in the sales tax. And we were going to send it to the ballot, because Governor Pawlenty wouldn't sign that, so it had to be a constitutional amendment. So we're able to get that through both houses.
Yeah.
Eventually, passed in the legislature in 2008, and then went to the ballot.
Hmm.
It was,
and it's turned out to be, you know, when you look at, and it's interesting that we're talking about this on an evening when we're in the midst of our honor membership drive, because we have been the beneficiary of those kinds of dollars, and a radio station like this, while we were talking about earlier, relies on its membership support. We do have to look for other ways of funding too, and those arts and cultural heritage funds have come for this,
yep,
radio station as well.
It's made a big difference in what we're able to do as far as local coverage, local arts coverage, local history,
yep,
coverage, lots of projects. So we really
right. That's a lot of money for the state for mm-hmm. arts and culture. It's about $50 million a year that goes to places like WTIP. And then there's local projects also that get those funds that wouldn't happen. Like they were talking about, some legislators were talking about trying to use that money for the Viking Stadium.
Yeah.
You know, arguable whether that's cultural heritage or not, depending upon
who you're talking to,
right,
I guess.
Exactly.
And I think it also depends on if they're winning.
Yeah, right. But what that would do to WTIP and other places, you know, if that money wasn't available.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that was done the way that it was done, so it couldn't be politicized every year, each and every year, although it seems to be heading that way as far as what gets funded.
Right.
But it couldn't just be taken away like a lot of what happens out of the general fund.
Right. There's constitutional language and there's also statutory language, the enabling language that sets up the mechanism to spend the money. And it says in that language that it can't supplant any existing funds. So money that already goes to arts and cultural heritage, goes to protecting the environment, whatever, has to be maintained, or at least at the relative level as the rest of government spending is. Mm-hmm. But anytime there's money involved in politics, it's always going to be a fight. And that's why one of the reasons we have legacy weekends, just to remind the voters, you know, where the money goes, where it comes from.
And I want to get to that
Speaking
in just a sec.
Speaking of money.
But quickly, can we take a break here, Frank? Yeah, yeah. Do you mind?
Wow. We have three people to thank.
Wow.
From the Tofty clan. Greg Tofty.
Hey, Greg.
Thank you, Greg. Longtime supporter and board member of the radio station.
Yeah.
I love everything. It's unbelievable. That's great. And Hans Tofty.
Thank you, Hans.
And Bjorn and Andrea Tofty.
Wow.
Thank you so much to all the Tofties. So we are now at 92 pledges, and we're only $218 away from $8,000.
Keep her going, folks.
Yeah, that's amazing.
387-1070 or 800-473-9847, or click and join at WTIP.org. We've now heard from 4 folks, and we're looking for at least 12 during this program. So please be number 5.
Right now, right while we're visiting with Frank. And we are visiting with Frank Moe, who is on the board of Conservation Minnesota. And let's shift gear just a little bit, because I want to talk about the Legacy Destination Weekends, which, as I understand it, now, Conservation Minnesota works along with Explore Minnesota and the Minnesota Citizens for the Arts.
Correct.
It's kind of the promotional agencies for this. And there are 12 destination weekends.
Don't ask me to remember where they all are.
No, I won't. I won't. But there's one. So obviously there's one a month.
Correct.
And next weekend, the weekend of Winterers Gathering here at North House Folk School, and there's several other activities as well that we'll talk about. Grand Marais, Cook County, is one of the 12. How did they get selected? How did the weekend, you know, the destinations get selected?
I think a dartboard.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
No, I think with the three...
Anytime there's big money.
Right.
Scientific stuff.
Right. No, the three entities who got together and figured out where would make sense to have kind of tourism-related destination weekends. And obviously, Cook County, the North Shore of Lake Superior, is one of the premier tourism destinations. And we also picked Cook County specifically because this weekend's not a typical big tourism weekend.
Exactly.
But we happen to have a lot of things going on this weekend. So not only will people in the Cook County area be going to them, we hope to draw people up from the Twin Cities and other places to fill our hotels for a weekend when they're not usually very full.
Exactly. And to me, that is one of the key elements in this whole thing is you're taking, and I don't know that that happens with the other 12, but you're taking a weekend in Cook County that, is, as you said, is not normally, we're not swarmed with people. And although it's certainly a great activity, now all of a sudden generating some stuff that could put significant amounts of people here.
Right.
How does it get promoted through the organizations?
Well, there's a few ways. You know, we handle media, so we do press releases statewide, and so this will be covered in all the statewide media, both before the weekend, and then there'll be press here that we'll cover then after the weekend. So hopefully Cook County will get some good press afterwards, and people will think about coming here after the fact. But there's also the websites for Explore Minnesota Tourism, for Conservation Minnesota, and for Minnesota Citizens for the Arts that also will have detailed information about it. I could also read for you here what happens to be going on next weekend.
Go ahead.
Yeah, So as you said, North House Folk School is the key event here, the Winter's Gathering, and they have some great stuff going on. They have Rolf Peterson, the wildlife biologist, who will be presenting on Saturday night at 7:30. There's the Polar Explorer film screening at Friday at 8 o'clock. There's dancing, obviously the contra dancing's that weekend, and many things the whole weekend long at the Folk School. The Art Colony is having a glass holiday ornament making on Saturday, and that's from 9 until 4, and you can stop by the Art Colony to sign up for that or call them. Heritage Post is having a Northern Photography exhibition the whole weekend, and the Historical Society is having a CCC exhibit. I don't know, I'm kind of interested to go see that too. There are camps all over the place here back in the 30s, and for those people who want to hike, many of us hike Cascade, but there's a self-guided hike too, so people coming and going from here can stop at Cascade and hike up from 61 and see the falls.
That's great. And a lot of different kinds of activities. I mean, it isn't just targeted to, okay, this group of people.
Right, and it's also highlighting those entities that get legacy dollars. You know, because all those things, including Cascade, gets legacy dollars for the
tour
there.
Of the studio.
Right.
Yes, right. We'll be doing every hour.
There'll probably be some leftovers.
You know, if they came now, they could get fresh snacks.
Yeah. And a fresh tour.
Yeah. Right.
And it isn't the weekend, but we could call it a legacy, a pre-legacy destination weekend tour. Well, we've been visiting with Frank Moe about the destination weekend of next weekend. And number one, I appreciate you coming in, as I mentioned before, but also appreciate your efforts on this committee.
Well, I just had one more question, Bob, that I've always kind of wondered about. Who decides who gets these legacy funds other than, okay, they go to arts, it's a certain percentage, they go to preserving our waters. It seems to me it's come up a lot in this last year. Who gets this money and why? For instance, who makes the decision when WTIP applies to get some legacy funds?
Well, ultimately, all the money that comes out of the state general fund has to be approved in a bill form from the legislature and signed into law by the governor. But there's a lot of processes that go into educating what's in those bills. And specifically, there's a legacy committee, both in the House and the Senate, that take testimony on all the different proposals, and they put together a bill, you know, so there might be so much for amper stations, so much for public radio stations, and that gets argued just like any other bill does. There's also some citizen committees that there's the Lessard Sam's Council that is made up of appointees from the governor's office, from the state legislature, and from a few other places that decides on those legacy dollars for habitat protection. That's one third of those funds, about $75 million a year. And then they bring recommendations to the state legislature. And there's also a Clean Water Council. So another third of those dollars, $75 million a year, goes to clean water. And so that citizen council makes recommendations again to the legislature. The legislature can do whatever they want with it, though. They could rewrite, you know, put a Viking stadium in there if they wanted to or whatever, but they don't, you know, because there's a lot of pressure from the citizens to do what the legislature said they were going to do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They'll pay the price at the ballot box if they don't honor that. Yeah.
Sure. Well, again, Frank, I want to thank you so much for, particularly on a Friday evening, particularly the fact that this is a long way from where you live.
I was on my way back from Duluth, so
good.
Yeah, Sherry and I just went to get a bunch of ground chicken for our dogs.
Don't give you too much credit. Is that what you said?
Hey, I was going to say one last thing. Ann and I were talking on the phone the other day, and the take-home message that I like to talk about with the legacy amendment is that it's remarkable that the voters of the state of Minnesota in the time in 2008, when our economy was on the way down, 56% of them voted yes to raise their own sales tax 3/8% in order to fund these things. And it just says something about sometimes we get, you know, we roll our eyes at where the electorate's going, but the fact that we value our arts and cultural heritage, our natural resources enough, the vast majority of us voted to raise our own sales taxes to pay for them, $270 million a year, plus or minus. I think that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I think it is too. I'm not too sure how many places that would happen, actually.
No.
Well, Texas, but then, Frank, again, thanks so much for coming. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having
me. Take care.
Thanks, Frank.